Good morning. This is Brother Steve Fisher again, the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. God bless you all this morning as you listen. We're going to continue in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5 and 6 this morning. Starting in chapter 5, verse 1, I'm just going to read through and make some comments as we go. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. I just want to make mention on these chapters here. One of the strong exhortations that comes forth in these chapters is to stand strong and to continue in the faith and to go on to greater and better things, not just sitting here or not just getting comfortable where you are, but to want to continue to grow. For every verse 2, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmities. And by reason hereof, he ought as for the people so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Here it gives again a little bit of a picture of Christ as a high priest, and another little reminder in there of Christ as that he came in the flesh, and how it was needful for him to come in the flesh in order to be our high priest. It says that he might have compassion on the ignorant. Verse 2, he can have the compassion of the ignorant on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also has come to us with infirmities. Christ came in the flesh, though he was sinless, he had within himself, within his body of flesh, he had the possibility to sin. And so he was tempted, he dealt with the same temptations, infirmities, the same things that we deal with from day to day. But he dealt with them perfectly. So again, just a reminder for us that we can come to Christ because he does understand our infirmities. He understands our pains. He understands the temptations and the things that we face. He was a man. He came in the flesh. So, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. There it gives a bit of an idea with verse 7, now it says, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him, meaning unto God, was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he was dependent on the Heavenly Father. It says some different places where he went out early in the morning, and he met with God to get his direction, to get his that he needed. And sometimes we get the idea that because he was the Son of God, that it was a little different for him. But I think it's important for us to remember that he was a man, and he needed God. He needed to have that connection daily, and he depended on that just the way that we can depend on it today. And that's how he walked from day to day. dependent on the Heavenly Father. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. Encouragement there for us to go on, not just to be satisfied like a little baby to just drink milk, or isn't made to drink milk all of their life. But milk is just like a starter. It just gets them going, and then they start eating other foods, and they start growing. The same way we can, in the Word of God, the milk of the Word it talks about here is I lost my place there now. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong drink. He talks about the doctrine of baptism there, and but anyway, it's just encouragement just for us to go on to bigger and better things, and to continue in our study of the Word of God, and continue with not just be satisfied where we are, but to grow, to seek more. I want to know more about God, and another place it talks about looking at Christ, and as we behold Him, we are changed even into the same image. And how do we look at Christ? We look at His Word, we look at His nature, and what He taught, and also what His disciples taught. All those are the ways how we look at Christ and become more like Him. Chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. There's the verse I was looking for, where it talks about the first parts of believing in God, repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. It's the beginning of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead for the eternal judgment. And this we do if God permits. Talking about these beginning things, or the first teachings of God, that we don't just stay stuck in those, but to continue on. Then verse 4, through 6, there's kind of an interesting concept. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. There's a strong warning there. Talks about somebody who has been enlightened, somebody who has tasted of heavenly gifts, and been partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. That if they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. We could go into all kinds of technical details trying to figure out exactly what it says. Is it possible for somebody to, after they have believed, to fall away? Is it possible after they fell away to renew them again, and all those things? But, you know, in the end of the day, we have to face the reality that there is people that come to a knowledge of Christ, and they seemingly are converted and believe that they're saved and have assurance and believe they're going to be with Jesus forever, and people that actually do, you know, in the end, fall away from that. And so we can just put aside all those technical arguments and let's face reality of the need for us to stand strong and look to Jesus and not not waver in our faith, but to continue and to continue to grow. That we might not, then we don't have to worry about those technical details about what, you know, if or when or whatever, but just to continue on and to stay strong in the Lord. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off, this is verse 7, upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom his dress receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor, your work and labor of love, which ye have shewed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. That's an encouraging verse there, verse 10 there, where it talks about God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Many times in this life, we go through life and we do things, and out of our love for others, we help others, and sometimes, you know, many times it seems like nobody cares or nobody notices, and it can become a little discouraging sometimes. But, you know, here it says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shewed toward his name. And we can just live for the blessing of God rather than the smile of men, thinking we want to have something from man, but that we can live for what God has for us. And we desire that every one of you, verse 11, do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay a hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. That's also a very encouraging verse there, as we look at that, where it says it is impossible for God to lie. And, you know, just couple that with the verse that we read before, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, you know, the promises that God gives. And then here we are reminded that, you know, God, it is impossible for God to lie. It's not only like he just wouldn't, but it's impossible. Whatever God says is going to happen. And so that's, we can be comforted by that. That we can believe those promises that he gives in his word. Right, that's the end of chapter 6. I think we will end there. Just want to encourage you to do a deeper study. This is just an overview. And to continue and to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Savior, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And here it talks to him as our high priest. God bless you.